Welcome to Independent Curriculum, the podcast. The Independent Curriculum podcast highlights ideas, organizations, schools, and individuals who are helping to empower schools and educators to choose their own best ways to teach and to learn. I'm Peter Gao, Independent Curriculum Resource Director at One Schoolhouse and your podcast host. One Schoolhouse is a consortium of schools around the world working to transform education through innovation, inspiring learners, and partnering with schools and organizations. We provide courses, programs, and other resources for students and adult learners. You can learn more about us by visiting our website at oneschoolhouse.org. The Independent Curriculum Podcast is for schools and educators interested in building stronger, more effective programs to meet the needs of their own students, in alignment with each school's unique mission, values, and strategic priorities. Our topic today is place-based education, and we're talking with some of the leadership team at the Gunston School's Chesapeake Watershed Semester in Centerville, Maryland. We have with us John Lewis, head of school at the Gunston School, and Emily Beck, director of the Chesapeake Watershed Semester. John and Emily, thank you for joining us for the Independent Curriculum Podcast at One Schoolhouse. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Glad to be here, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Peter. We really appreciate it.
Well, I'm very grateful that you're here. Okay. The Chesapeake Watershed Semester is a pretty young, term-away school currently serving local day students and situated right on the Gunston campus, which happens to be right on Chesapeake Bay. Would you please give us an overview of the Watershed Semester, how it works, how many students you serve, and what do the kids do there?
Absolutely, Peter. So the Watershed Semester is in its third year of operation, and it's an outgrowth of the Gunston School's deep commitment to environmental teaching and learning that we have an over two-decade history in really growing from our waterfront campus location that you mentioned. The Watershed Semester is similar to other semester schools in that students step away from their home school, their sending institution, for an immersive and academically rigorous semester of study, looking at the restoration of the Chesapeake Bay through the dual lenses of environmental science and public policy. Over the course of the 15-week semester, students engage in five different learning expeditions that are hands-on, highly experiential, and have the students traveling across the 64,000 square miles of the watershed, where they're investigating issues, speaking directly with stakeholders, collecting data, and developing a really nuanced understanding of the solutions that are available. And these expeditions are, in many ways, the culminations of curricular units that grow out of the core academic classes. The students are enrolled in a literature of land and water, an environmental science course, and a government seminar, along with a leadership course, provide their core academic content. Our current enrollment per semester is capped at 12 to 13 students. The real answer to that is we have one van at this point in time in the program. So we're keeping enrollment small as we grow from a pilot program.
Wow. Everything I hear about this program sounds just amazing. And it also seems to be a pretty original, maybe unique model as a semester school attached to and kind of part of a, I don't know, regular school, we'll call them. Can you describe for us how this program came to be, how it grew out of programming that was probably already a center of excellence at the Gunston School?
Well, Gunston has been doing really innovative environmental education for 20 years. We have a program called Chesapeake Bay Studies, which is, Chesapeake Bay Studies for us is a week-long experiential learning week that all students do every year as part of the normal Gunston curriculum in the spring. And what we, our board in 2014 set a goal, a strategic goal of becoming a regional and national leader in environmental teaching and learning. And so we set to work on an environmental strategic plan. And then one of the areas of that plan was to think about new programs. And a semester school that drew upon the experience of this 20 years of environmental education, place-based education, made a lot of sense. So, you know, we looked at the semester schools, you know, they have a 40-year history, you know, starting with, well, maybe not starting with the Mountain School, but that was one of the early leaders. And now there are 10 standalone semester schools that are part of the semester schools network. And so we tried to sort of look at those models and try to understand kind of where our program might fit into that. And I think, you know, we're in the process of growing the program. So we like to joke that we're sort of in the church basement phase right now, where it's a day program for students who are currently Gunston students. Actually, next year, it's going to continue to be a day program, but we're going to be bringing in students from outside of the Gunston community. And then once we kind of work through the pilot phase of this program, which is a 2 or 3 year pilot phase, we're going to begin moving towards a residential program. And so, you know, Emily, who is the director, has just done a wonderful job of helping that program grow, and also helping us make sure that we're kind of working out the kinks as we move through this stepwise growth into a full-fledged residential program, which we hope will be fully established by 2025.
Mm. Well, that's really exciting and quite ambitious, but I just love the idea of, you know, this is something we do well as a school, so we're going to make it happen beyond our walls. And since we're exploring the theme of place-based learning, can you speak a bit about how the Chesapeake Watershed Semester is not just something that takes place on and near the Bay, but how it builds real connections between the school and its students and the Bay and some of the Bay's stakeholder communities?
Absolutely. You know, the program is really designed to use place as the organizing context for the academic disciplines. So an environmental science class can be taught environmental sciences in general with case studies around the world, or can be enriched by using the local environment. Similarly, history, government, many other disciplines can be enriched, and the learning really becomes real for students when you're able to meet the actual figures that you are reading about. So to share a little anecdote, one of our favorite expeditions for the students takes us out to Smith or Tangier Islands in the center of the Chesapeake Bay. And when we're on Tangier, we have the opportunity to meet with the mayor of Tangier, whose name is Uker. And he's a character. He's a great local politician, waterman, and for the students to not read about the case of Uker's call to Donald Trump asking for support for Tangier Island, but to actually talk to Uker and have Uker tell the story of, you know, how that phone call unfolded, it takes something, you know, from the page, even current events, takes it from the page and really brings it to life. And as we've constructed the curriculum, these interdisciplinary classes prepare the students well for the direct stakeholder engagement. The case study around the restoration of the Chesapeake Bay is a world-renowned case study, and we have close to 40 years of data and efforts in this fashion. So what we're seeing is students are using place in the local construct of places that we are visiting and the issues that we're discussing, the case studies that they might be tackling in their government class, to cover general principles. You know, before you can talk about the Chesapeake Bay Agreement, you need to have a sound understanding of federalism. So it takes a concept that is otherwise somewhat dry and stagnant for some students, maybe not for the political nerds, but for some students it can really help them visualize how this information applies. And what we're seeing in our students is this really deep understanding and connection to place is what our students are crediting for instilling an environmental ethic in them, that they're really acknowledging that they have a deep love for the Chesapeake Bay from their experiences in and around it. And even the kids who have grown up here and feeling like, yeah, I know this place, after a semester of rigorous and immersive study, have come away with, you know, I thought I knew it, but I only knew the stories that I was being told and the stories that I was listening to. And through my experience of getting out of the classroom and talking directly with stakeholders, I now have a much deeper and more nuanced understanding of all of the issues and opportunities present.
Wow. That kind of gets to a kind of a definitional question that I have, and you've kind of just answered it, but I think sometimes people have this kind of limited view of place-based learning as something that's either about environmental science or maybe just local history in a very, very narrow way. I think it's a whole lot more than that, and it sounds like you do too. And I'm sort of wondering, you know, how do you define place-based learning in the context of the Chesapeake Watershed semester, and how does it illustrate this definition?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and we've really been sort of delighted with how powerful the place-based element of the Watershed semester has worked in helping to build students' understanding of how the world works. I think I do think many of our students do have a limited understanding of where they're from, even if they might think they know where they're from. And I think students do generally have a dim understanding of how the world works. And one of the great things about the Watershed semester is when you start, you know, connecting with stakeholders and going to the Conowingo Dam and sort of seeing how that has a huge kind of downstream effect. And when you go up to Pennsylvania and you see the coal country and the kind of upper part of the Chesapeake watershed, students really begin to understand how, you know, one of the things we talk a lot about is this notion of systems thinking. And so it helps to get students kind of out of their individual disciplines and to understand how things cross disciplines and how, you know, in order to be successful in this world, you do have to be a systems thinker. And I just want to go back to the birth of the watershed semester came from really a simple premise, which is, you know, solving the challenges of the natural environment are at the center of the challenges that our children are going to have to face. Sorry, I keep using the future tense, that they have, that we are facing. You know, we are facing an environmental catastrophe. But you can't solve an environmental catastrophe by just understanding the environment. You have to understand all of the systems that contribute to that, to both the problems and to the solutions. And I think as students feel, I think by the end of that time, and having gone from place to place and seeing how these different places connect with each other, I think they feel much more empowered after, you know, participating in these hands-on experiences and having this direct interaction with stakeholders.
And Peter, if I can jump in here, there's, you know, one term that when we started talking with the Gunston faculty several years ago around educating for sustainability, which is a central pedagogy for Gunston, we were explaining that educating for sustainability in the same way, place-based education, are educational activities delivered in a place. So delivered in the natural world or in a politician's office, about that place. And then really the most important part is for the benefit of that place. And this is illustrated well in the hands-on activities that the students are engaged in the watershed semester, and really comes to a culmination with their capstone action project. So the students are researching environmental issues and social issues in the watershed, and then they're designing and implementing an action project. So that might be planting a pollinator garden. It might be capturing a photo essay of working watermen and using that to highlight the importance of local legislation around oyster harvest limits. So the students are asked at the culmination of the semester to really to consider how they can take their knowledge and translate it into action. And that's the last point of the benefit for that place.
Oh, sorry, John, Peter, sorry. Just to piggyback on that. And for schools that are thinking about this, I think it's really important to really think about, you know, every school is going to do this very differently. We just presented at NAIS with Winchester Thurston School and the Friends School of Baltimore. These are urban schools with very different contexts that provide very different opportunities for place-based learning than might exist at a rural independent school like ours.
Well, and really hoping to, you know, to activate something that stays as part of each student's being and core values and core interests going forward. That, you know, they can have any perspective they want, but the perspective begins with that sense of ownership and empowerment over the, you know, in the place. I think that's amazing. Coming from what you just said, John, too. Now, as a model, it would seem as though the Chesapeake Watershed Semester might offer an interesting example to other schools who are seeking to expand the warrant of their mission and to build connections with their communities and more relevance into their academic programs. These seem like really important goals. Do you have any advice for schools that may be listening to this and say, hey, I wonder if we could do something like that? What are some of the challenges and opportunities here?
I think there's tremendous potential. I mean, as John was saying, the conference at the NIS presentation generated a lot of robust conversation around the value of focusing on a school's unique community and location as a strong differentiator in a competitive marketplace, and the ability to really enhance teaching and learning at the school. You know, what we have seen at Gunston is this increased focus on environmental teaching and learning has blended really well with everything that we are gathering from mind-brain education, as well as social-emotional learning, and our ability to fold all of that in together into a really robust 21st century education experience, as John was alluding to, that systems thinking, the deep integration. And the Watershed Semester, you know, right now it serves just a small portion of the Gunston students. It offers deep learning experiences for students, and that's what we're really seeing as a growing demand. For schools who are considering jumping in this direction, you know, one of the first things that we did in the strategic planning process that John mentioned back in 2014 was to think about our networks and our resources. So what were our natural resources from our physical campus to the wealth of partnerships that we had developed over the years, as well as to really think hard about what was in our DNA. And that's part of where, you know, we really settled on the environmental teaching and learning, and the almost 25 years of running Chesapeake Bay Studies means that this type of program is in our DNA. And so for a school to think strategically about what are their natural resources and what's in their DNA. And that's where partnering and presenting with Friends School of Baltimore and Winchester Thurston offer this, or the faculty members, the perspective, it's not just for rural schools, but to think about what your resources and your assets are in your community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would add that, you know, as head of school, I always have, you know, kind of one eye on the program and one eye on enrollment. And I've been very, you know, as Generation X and millennial parents kind of move through the independent school ecosystem, I have been shocked. And I knew that our environmental program and the Watershed Semester would be attractive to families, some families, but I've really been shocked at how it has really drawn families towards the school, because those families are looking for educational experiences and the students are looking for educational experiences that are infused with meaning. You know, and I think the more you can infuse the program with meaning, the more attractive it is going to be. And of course, that connects exactly with what Emily was saying about mind brain education. And I know we're going to talk about students at some point in this podcast, but I can say that to a student who has participated in this program, they have declared that it was the most impactful educational experience of their lives thus far.
you have just jumped into my next question, which is that we haven't talked that much about the students' experience, but I'd be interested to know what kinds of experiences and reactions your students have had in this program. And since the students are currently all day students right from the region, have you seen changes in the way the kids think about the Bay and the world?
So this morning, despite, you know, kind of what's going on in our current climate, I had to run a few errands. And as I was stopping by a coffee shop, a student waved and we couldn't hug and say hi, but she's just back from Cambodia. A CWS alum who was actually Gunston's student body president the year that she participated in the watershed semester has been doing a year of service, traveling the globe with a youth ministry program. And so we had an opportunity to talk from a 6-foot distance about her experiences in that program and the pieces that she felt like she was constantly pulling out of her back pocket from things that she had seen and experienced while in the watershed semester. So what we are seeing from reported by parents and by faculty members is tremendous gains in leadership skills by our students, greater poise, greater self-knowledge, a comfort with public speaking, all skills that are really well practiced by the students and modeled by the faculty. You know, these are students who, not necessarily coming into the program, have thought of themselves as leaders amongst their peers. In terms of students' thoughts about the Bay and the world, you know, we've had students who've enrolled in the semester thinking, I am never going to live on the eastern shore of Maryland ever again. Get me to New York City as fast as you possibly can. But before I go, I want to be able to say I really knew the area that I grew up in. We've also seen students who, you know, feel like they were born on the back of a Chesapeake workboat and have been hauling nets and hoisting crab pots since they were a little kid, and have a sense that they know the rights and wrongs of oyster and crab harvest legislation and, you know, the importance of various industries in the area. And over the course of the semester, you know, we've seen students from such diverse backgrounds having to confront information that they took for granted, and really question some assumptions about who was right and who was wrong in legislative debates. Our government teacher does a fantastic opportunity of asking students to really consider all sides of an argument. And that nuanced thinking has, you know, students have reflected back to us that they feel, you know, more knowledgeable and really empowered to make an intelligent argument.
Wow. Must make it for some interesting family dinners too, I'm guessing, along the way, if you have people who make their living on the water, because there are always differences of opinion there. So it's really about helping kids become more engaged with the world. And that's what we want. We want kids to find something to care about and care enough to learn more about and to be engaged with. I'm blown away. Wow. Well, I guess thank you, John and Emily, for so much for your time today, and more importantly, for the work you're doing to support, promote, and enact the values that we espouse in our principles of independent curriculum and the work that we all believe in as educators. Listeners, we'll post Emily and John's contact information along with a précis of this broadcast so that those of you who have been engaged and inspired by this conversation and follow up with your own questions, ideas, and resources. In the meantime, you can find out more about Gunston School's Chesapeake Watershed Semester at chesapeakewatershedsemester.org, or follow the links from gunston.org. Well, John and Emily, I just want to thank you again. This has been a great conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Peter.
It's one of our favorite things to talk about, so thank you.
Well, it's one of my favorite things to listen to, so thank you so much. Okay, then. Well, this is Peter Gao for One Schoolhouse, thanking our listeners for being with us for this episode of the Independent Curriculum Podcast, and reminding listeners that you can learn more about us at oneschoolhouse.org and find our podcast archive at independentcurriculum.org.